Okay, prima. Allora, allora. Okay, so here I am, and it's pretty hot, as I said, and well, again, if I didn't say it before, this playlist comes with a warning for those who prefer a simple and problem-free version of the Krishna Conscious Society. By, well, ignoring or whatever the problems that may be there, or rather, as I see it, the things that could improve and need to be improved for this Vaishnava community on this globe to thrive and be healthy and happy and attractive. And well, if when I say that you say that, well, it's great already, what are you talking about? It's very attractive, Krishna is the most attractive and all, so on. Or it can't be better than this because people of this world are so fallen and so materialistic and so on. So things are fine apart from that. Well, the way I see it and my conviction and my understanding of how our acharyas see it is that this bhakti movement has the potential to be liked by so many, you know, billions of people on this planet, because it is actually very, very, a very positive and happy path based on a philosophy, teachings that really makes sense. which is really needed. I don't think many people are, whether they know it or not, longing for something like that. Being disappointed with both traditional religion and the mainstream science, materialistic science. Potential for something doesn't mean it's manifest right now. So I see it as our job to find that potential, understand it, and learn how to bring it out into the society we live in. I mean, I remember we used to joke between ourselves in the late 90s, in the 90s, that after the latest leader coming crashing down with the resultant shock waves reverberating through the movement, that, you know, in a way, it's as if in 30 years we managed to go through basically all the mistakes that the big mainstream religions needed 300 years or more to go through. Well, it's as if maybe Krishna gave us the condensed version, a quick course. To get us faster through that to what's really supposed to happen here, this Sankirtan movement and all that. Now, to make a whole bunch of beginners' mistakes is, of course, natural for beginners. So there is no problem, really. Problem is when those beginners make all the mistakes but don't see them as mistakes, but rather institutionalize them into a culture. And further, reinforces that by declaring themselves great and learned and as the only ones basically who knows where spiritual things or any things are at. Well, that mistake in itself is also well known. Cults, religious groups, and political groups, and whatever, all over the world. We can make a whole list of such examples. So, this see no evil, speak no evil, hear no evil. While it may seem as a safe way to go, it actually can create a stagnant situation in a movement, which then basically ceases to be a movement, but rather something static, some institution, is standing there basically for its own sake. But then, well, that's one thing, but another serious thing is when, due to misunderstanding of the whole purpose of the movement or group or religion, is lost and members, especially leaders, start to abuse their positions, abuse each other, abuse children, and so on. That's when it gets really serious. It's not anymore a matter of being philosophically or theologically correct, more or less, or being pious, more or less, but it becomes a matter of people posing as learned and pious, are actually inflicting serious harm to others. And especially when that extends even to children, women, elderly. Then what was supposed to be establishing Dharma is doing the opposite, establishing adharma. And someone may say, you know, well, we're going to the morning programs and chanting 16 rounds while doing this, so that transcends it because that's the highest dharma or whatever. Well, there's so many ways we can deceive ourselves in. So I'm making this playlist here basically for myself to clear my own thoughts, understanding about a lot of things, but also knowing that there are probably many with me who have the same thoughts. I do this to start a discussion or bring devotees together around these topics, and maybe together we can progress. And I've been lately following some new Facebook groups popping up: Progressive Vaishnavism, Vedic Inquirer, about how to make ISKCON healthy again, and so on. And wow, how active those groups became. Well, these days there are of course discussions about the latest leader being kicked out for improper behavior, but also, which I find even more useful, discussions about the general leadership problem or understanding of Krishna consciousness in this movement that may feed and cause these kind of problems to start with, because I guess even the most pious turn into another direction people have to admit now that this is a recurring phenomena, which then generally reveals some chronic disease there. Not in this or that individual necessarily, but in the collective. So I appreciate those groups and the devotees who are discussing things there, and you know, to me, surprisingly level-headed and respectful and factual, fact-based way. So, just in case anyone is interested, this channel and this playlist are my humble contribution to the discussion. And in case you're one of those who is ready to go out and kill all the miscreants who are daring to challenge this or that status quo that you are yourself defending, and well, I'm just an ordinary guy, and I have my ordinary guy view. Highly subjective, but just trying to make sense of things from Shastra and my understanding and experiences. And if you think, who is this guy anyway, who cares, then fine. I mean, I would also like to see you sitting here and having your own channel, and then, or comment below here. Or discuss in these other social media forums. Generally, I don't think that beating up or killing or threatening other people is a viable way to neither change their opinions or stop those opinions from spreading and poisoning your society. Because first of all, truth prevails, right? So if I'm just saying useless, stupid, false things here, then nobody will care about this guy. Well, then someone could say, well, there are so many cases of people just being charismatic and deceptive, but smart, and who can turn and poison others' minds in insidious ways. Well, yeah, sure. And we have seen quite a few of those, both in this and that movement group. So what else is new? But you know, you don't cope with that by shutting out the opponents as you see them. The first wisest thing, in my opinion, to do is to first of all listen and try to understand. Because if we don't, because you already decided another person is bad and demon or evil or whatever, so we shouldn't listen to that person, then, well, chances are that you misunderstand and also miss the ones whom I have the right understanding and right solution. Maybe the little less known devotees. Who you may just wave off because they don't follow the mainstream. And you may think that this is also a safe way to go because you defend the leaders, the ones in power, the ones in sadhu dress, the ones that should be the safe cards to bet upon. But then tell you honestly, to me it starts to appear more and more as if those who, especially in the early wild days, somehow or other climbed up to leadership positions. Are not as qualified as they have been accepted as. Sometimes being in that position more out of personal ambitiousness, ability, yes, sometimes, and we shouldn't be afraid of using the word sometimes, even psychopath characters, because it's a known problem in religious organizations and in, I think, many organizations. As such people find them easy and attractive to work in. So then you may look around and see that there are leaders around you who have no formal education really, who are not very good at dealing with people, with other devotees, who some or other, and could it be a coincidence, are not very accountable financially or management wise, prefer to do things hidden in the shades. Sham, we used to use the word. Who are sometimes not even very knowledgeable or even convinced about the Vaishnava philosophy. Whilst I have met lately, one after another, devotees who were always considered in the, you know, the file and ranks devotees, the workers down there on the floor, being out there collecting the Lakshmi for the leaders and washing the pots and cleaning the floors and doing all these things. That are now coming out with both a lot of down-to-earth life experience, but also a deep and wise and level-headed understanding of this bhakti yoga and this tradition and the shastra, coupled with a good amount of common sense, which really makes me go, oh, wow, finally, people I can relate to. Not all this, if you're not following my way and this and that and conforming and working hard for my department of this glorious movement, and you are despicable. So yeah, if you found this little speech, introduction, you could say, to what's going to come here, despicable too, then well, please don't continue looking. But if you're interested in just hearing just another guy, who anyway has been around since 78 and has been around quite a bit, and this movement, and at least promises here to not launch some political campaign or whatever, or some hate, whatever they said it today, but to focus on positive, peaceful, sensible solutions based on Shastric knowledge, the Acharyas. And that which is proven, has been proven to work in this time and age. Because I think really that there's a lot of need for such discussions, evaluation, suggestions, proposals, theories to be tested out in order to find out how to implement a living, healthy, thriving culture based on Vaishnava Siddhanta all over the world today. So yeah, that's where we start this playlist. And let's see where this takes us.